Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning and welcome. We wanted to check in on what's been going on with Bruce Ivins and the allegations that he was responsible for the anthrax attacks, which followed in the wake of 9/11. So we got some information from the Institute for Public Accuracy about Dr. Merle Naz, and she's going to join us to talk about why she thinks he's probably innocent. The article in the New York Times today says the evidence against him is mostly circumstantial. As you know, the FBI already paid, I think, close to $6 million to Stephen Hatfill, who they wrongly accused of being a scientist who used the weaponized anthrax to send to people in the media and kill several people. So at least 10 people had access to the flask that contained the anthrax at the place where Dr. Bruce Ivins worked in the laboratory in Fort Detrick, Maryland. This, of course, raises a whole host of questions about whether we should be weaponizing things anyway. But let's talk about Bruce Ivins. You knew him, correct, Dr. Merle Naz? And thanks for taking busy time out of your busy day, because I know you're on duty as a doctor today. So I appreciate it.
I knew him. He was a nice guy. He's the last person anyone would have thought could do something like this.
And yet the FBI apparently hounded him for weeks, hounded his family, but yet the grand jury in Washington was still planning to hear several more weeks of testimony. Did you talk to him about having been accused? Did he share with you any of his thoughts about it?
I actually haven't spoken with him for about 6 years.
Oh, okay. But when you knew him, he seemed fairly balanced. And I'm interested in asking you, too, because one of the raps on him in the media has been that he had issues with women.
I never noticed any issues with women. I met him at several conferences, talked to him on the phone a few times. He was nothing but professional. Just a nice guy who tried to be very generous with his time, would send me articles about, professional articles about things I was interested in, helped me with a paper I was writing with some information, shared information about anthrax vaccine side effects with me.
And you have a website about the effects of the anthrax vaccine, which has been under controversy. Our military is inoculated with it, and it has caused a number of health reports and issues about that, which maybe we can get into another day. But I'm concerned about how the FBI has been handling this investigation, because they've already paid more than $6 million to Stephen Hatfill, who they also accused of having perpetrated this anthrax attacks. Why do you think their investigation has been apparently so bad?
That's a $64,000 question, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be the most expensive investigation they've ever undertaken, and they seem to have done everything wrong.
Well, and allegedly Bush ordered them, or somebody in the Bush administration ordered them to find an Al-Qaeda link to this, which, then they started investigating and realized because about anthrax vaccines, but one of the reasons why they think that the anthrax came from the United States is because the way it was weaponized, the size that it was, which apparently it has to be a certain kind of size to get into your lungs,
right.
Correct?
Right.
So do you dispute the fact that it maybe came from one of our labs?
No.
Okay.
I think we don't know enough. There has been a lot of misinformation and disinformation that has come forward in the 7 years since the crime was committed. And so there have been contradictory leaks from the government about what the anthrax actually consisted of that was in the envelopes. And until that is resolved, this case is going to continue to be very, very foggy.
As a scientist, as a doctor, what do you think that the... because the FBI obviously is a law enforcement agency and an investigative agency. What should they have been looking for? What should they look for now? And should they... They said that they'd closed the case, but it's not solved. What the hell does that mean?
Yes, exactly. I think that means we're getting a new administration.
Good point.
What they should have done is... The only evidence in this entire case is the envelopes of anthrax, and they have four of them, and it's thought that there were others that were not found, that were destroyed before people realized that they really contained anthrax. So there are four envelopes. It's known where they were mailed from.
The Princeton mailbox. And one of the circumstantial facts against Dr. Ivins is apparently he was visiting New Jersey on the dates in September and October 2001 when they were mailed.
Okay, well, we need to see that evidence. There were also letters, some of which did not contain anthrax, that looked similar, that were mailed from other places. And so whoever did this, if one person did this, which I happen to doubt, you would have to be able to put them at all those different mailboxes. And the FBI has been talking about that lately. The other thing you would have to do, as I said, was figure out what kind of coating or preparation was performed on the spores, because the way spores are prepared to weaponize them is a deep secret. And Ivins would not have had any professional reason to know that secret, although he may have been informed about it after the anthrax letters when he was investigating. Because he was a consultant to the FBI, he did a lot of the research on the anthrax in the letters initially. So beforehand, he would not have been trained to weaponize anthrax, and very, very few people would have. And the perpetrator would have to be among that small group.
Well, and one of the problems with this, too, I guess they inferred he had had an accident which he didn't report with some anthrax, right?
But that's another sort of crazy thing, which came out around 2003, that Ivins was sampling places outside the lab. They have hot labs at Fort Detrick. Until your anthrax research work is done inside a laboratory, which is separate from the rest of the facility, so that anthrax spores don't escape. Because if they escape into the environment, they can last for, 100 years or more and potentially, affect somebody later. So he was sampling areas outside the hot suites and found anthrax, and people made a big deal of it at the time. But in fact, historically, Fort Detrick has been contaminated with anthrax for years. I mean, there was an electrician who died from an anthrax contamination at the lab in the 1950s. And there's a building called the 8-Ball, which is, I believe, still contaminated with anthrax. It has been contaminated for decades. And
yeah.
Anthrax is, it's an invisible spore. It's extremely tiny. It's about a micron in diameter. And so really very easy to contaminate an area with it. And particularly when these letters are being brought in and out to Fort Detrick, at the time of the attack, and people, law enforcement officials are not necessarily cognizant of all the things you need to do to prevent contamination of your clothing and your person when you're bringing these letters in.
Well, and so, as far as we know, they have no evidence directly of that. They just have envelopes that they think he may have had access to at three Maryland post offices that were frequented, including one in Frederick, where he apparently frequented it because he had a post office box rented there under another name.
Right.
Go ahead.
I guess my point before was that the fact that he found contamination in Fort Detrick and tried to clean it up doesn't implicate him at all, because it's very likely there was contamination. And frankly, probably
so you're saying
the
maybe
officials
he didn't even, they tried
want,
to make it, I'm sorry, they tried
yeah,
to make
they
it.
They tried to blame him as
right.
if he had contaminated the area. But nobody had been testing for contamination. If you test for contamination, chances are good you'll find it in a place like Fort Detrick.
Right. Now, do you think that, is there anything in terms of, because one of the things that the FBI has said, as I understand it, and I'm no scientist, by the way, but anyway, as I understand it, one of the things they say is that this size of weaponized anthrax would have a certain sign and a certain signature that would let you know at least which laboratory it came from, which is one of the reasons why they pointed the finger at Fort Detrick in general. Is that accurate?
I believe that's accurate. There have been a variety of forensic techniques developed in the last 7 years, and they should have been able to pinpoint it to the lab it came from. However, the New York Times has indicated that at least 10 people had access to the anthrax in Ivins' lab.
Right.
At Fort Detrick, that there were lots of people going in and out that may have had access, and that there were two other labs, government labs, with which the anthrax was shared. So again, you've got a large number of people besides Ivins with access.
If he had such a good case, and he could have, I mean, I know that the allegations are that he was hounded, but, he had a family. He, it saddens me that he killed himself without being able to clear his name. And it sounds like any good defense attorney could have taken on this case and driven a truck through it.
That's true. Now, people have said, and I don't know this, have said there was no autopsy. If there was no autopsy in a case like this, that in itself is a shocker.
Well, that is disturbing, and I think we do need to know more about that. As far as I'm aware, there has not been one, and that is one thing that I want to know, what his cause of death was, how did he die, you know, under what circumstances. Even Tom Daschle, one of the objects of the attack, one of the targets of the deadly letters, said, you know, hey, we need to figure out how this happened and what happened and how did he die.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, you know, if you don't mind, we may keep in touch with you because we want to follow this case. I know that the FBI is planning on releasing some of the evidence today. I have not yet seen any articles about that yet. Have you heard anything about them releasing the evidence as yet today? I know they're supposed to today, but...
Exactly.
I figured maybe since you're on the East Coast, you might be a little closer to more breaking news than I am, but... Dr. Merle Nash, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day. I really appreciate it. Your website, anthraxvaccine.org, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
For people to find out more information about that particular subject. And I appreciate, once again, you taking time out to check in with us about it. We'll definitely keep an eye on this case. Thank you. I'm Erin Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. This is disturbing. Whoever attacked the people, killed five people, injured 17, should be prosecuted within the fullest extent of the law. But, you know, I just really find this frightening that the FBI handled this so badly. They basically had to pay $6 million, or close to $6 million, to Dr. Hatfield because they followed him and hounded him. Now another has allegedly committed suicide. What's the truth? Do you think we'll ever get at the truth? And I find it extremely, you know, I'm just naive enough or just still want to be innocent enough to think my government will eventually get at the truth. But I also have grown up in this country and know that may not be the case. But thanks for Dr. Merle Nash for keeping an eye on this and taking time out of her busy day to talk to us. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the V-stakes. We'll talk about anything we've talked about this morning. I'll recap for you coming up shortly, right after Colorado's Progressive Traffic with John Turk. Hi, this is Erin Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning. Thank you all for joining me this morning. Fascinating stuff to hear from Dr. Merle Nash. That's a little scary, isn't it? The American flag, I've seen stuff on WorldNet Daily, which you would expect to pick on Barack Obama. I'm going to MediaMatters.org to check up on it, too, about that flag controversy. We've also got the ad of Paris Hilton, which I am going to have to hear one more time this morning, at least. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. And also John McCain talking about making his wife Miss Buffalo Chip. Isn't that special? George in Lakewood, welcome to AM 760 and Progressive
Talk. Really,
good morning.
About something else, but I'd like to comment on what the lady just said.
Sure, about the anthrax vaccine?
Yeah, because my daughter has a PhD degree in microbiology. And I remember about 3 months after that happened, she told me, she called us, she lives in Kansas City, called us up and said, geez, you know, I went to my office, and these three guys in there, and they were looking around everything and said, can I help you? One of them says, FBI, you know. And so the bottom line is the FBI went around to all kinds of universities trying to find someone, and my daughter was laughingly told me, she said, well, if they can't find some poor slob, then they'll have to blame it on the bossa nova. A little joke.
Yeah.
And anyway, so
well, they just cost us $6 million.
Didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What?
No, they just cost us $6 million.
Yeah. Well, at least it was pay for them anyhow, I guess.
Yeah.
But I called you for another reason.
Go ahead.
And so, it's not putting down old people. I'm 68 years old, but I say let McCain have the decrepit vote because that won't get him elected.
Well, if youngins don't turn out, it might. We have to be a little helpful.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I'll quit.
Well, I'm concerned because young people often support a candidate in huge numbers, and then they don't turn out to vote. They did vote in record numbers for John Kerry, though, so I'm looking forward to them doing it again, even in even greater numbers.
Well, I really think there's going to be this vast army coming out for Obama. And one thing, good grief, next to McCain, I mean, Obama's really brilliant. McCain is not. So, everybody else, we'll applaud him for being a war hero, and if that makes him a hero. And anyway, so good for him. But that doesn't mean he's entitled to be the president of the United States and be elected at 72 and keep making blunders. And one of these days, he'll be calling Iran and Iraq Mesopotamia. A little joke. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just thinking of the way John Stewart spells it, Mesopotamia.
Well, that's pretty much what it is, all right.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, one thing, this may sound mean-spirited on my part.
Okay, George.
But the way I look at the Republicans, and by the way, I never changed my party affiliation. The last Republican I voted for was Dick Nixon. That was a big mistake.
Yes.
But at any rate, the way I look at the Republicans are, and the people that want to support McCain, let's say like a lot of the cities in Ohio, I guess, they still kind of like him, and they're all hurting. Well, if they're dumb enough, or if the people of the United States are dumb enough to put in McCain, then let them all go broke. That's their tough luck. If they're actually that stupid, because I say to myself, how bad would things have to get in this country before 99% of the Republicans says, we got to go for Obama, my God, you know, we're trillions in debt. We have socialized medicine for, unfortunately, or fortunately for me, I guess, people my age, but all the young people, you know, have kids and all, well, screw them. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, I know, and I find that repulsive as well. I find the whole thing, I do not understand the whole charge that he's distant, that he's uninvolved, blah, 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 blah. It's just, it really is scary. It's just very, very scary. Yeah. It's sad and it's pathetic, but they're going to do it. It's like this thing with the newly painted Boeing 757 aircraft, as if he's being high and mighty. You know, it does have a flag on it. Even the World Net Daily says it has a flag and the number on it. They just painted his symbol on it, too. And apparently they take umbrage. You know, if he had painted a U.S. flag on it, they would have accused him of trying to be Obama One or Air Force One. So I still haven't gotten to the entire bottom of the flag thing, but it's this kind of stuff that distracts us and takes away from its hubris, total hubris. Who cares as long as he's intelligent? You know, Dana Milbank of the Washington Post went so far down in my estimation that Paris Hilton is higher than he is now because of the way that he went off on him without taking him out of context. I'm sick of it. You know, I'm sick of it. They should just all take a deep breath, tell the truth, and cut it out. But I'm with you. I don't think it's being followed closely enough.
As far as the flag thing goes,
yeah,
I also think that is such a bunch of crap. I don't give a damn if he puts the Iranian flag on his blooming plane. Some people go nuts.
They'd go crazy.
Okay, the thing is, though, I mean, here we got a guy that's really intelligent, and he's trying to put together bipartisan committees to, you know, maybe fix the country.
Mm-hmm.
And these morons were saying, oh, my God, you know, we don't wear a lapel pin, you know, with a flag. I mean, my God, he doesn't love the country.
He painted over his plane. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. It's insanity is what it is. It really is. But it's pathetic, and they're going to keep doing it because they know it works. And the problem is that then you have to waste time looking this stuff up instead of concentrating on what's truly important. Thank you so much, George, for your call. Let's go to Kip in Longmont on the J. Marvin Show. I'm Aaron Hart filling in. Good morning, Kip.
Hi, Aaron. How are you on such a beautiful morning?
Oh, I'm pretty swell.
Well,
it's going to be cooler, too, thank goodness.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to offer a perspective, I think, and some observations from my standpoint with regard to the Obama campaign and outreach. My wife has been volunteering with the campaign, a lot, 40 to 50 hours a week, in addition to keeping her business running.
Wow.
And so there's a lot of hardworking, dedicated people out there working on behalf of Senator Obama, and she happens to be one of them. She has personally gone to at least one nursing home in Longmont, and we're an older couple. We're in our mid-50s, and every vote is important. I know I don't believe that Senator Obama or anyone else would want to write off anyone's vote.
I don't either, whether it's an elderly person or a young person. And I don't either. Do you think they are, though?
No, I really don't. I think the heart, and I don't speak for the campaign in any sense. I'm just offering some personal observations
Insights. Based
on what I see going on around me.
Sure.
But I think the heart of what Senator Obama is offering is that this campaign is about us. It's about us becoming involved in our democracy and offering ourselves to defend and promote it and to make our country better. And the heart of that really is neighborhood, community, grassroots organization, including voter registration and holding neighborhood house meetings where people just get together and talk about what's brought them to this point, not so much
policy. Yeah, and judging by my mailbox, they're very good at that, extremely good at that.
Yes, and that's the heart and soul of what Senator Obama is trying to offer to us, is that it really is about us rather than him. And a very good way for people to get involved is to get in touch with your local Obama for America office or rep. And that can be kind of tough because, of course, they're just getting offices really set up and established. And there are a lot of young people involved who are very computer oriented. And, the point of elderly people not being as able to access things on the internet is a very good one. And yet I think right now it can be kind of difficult for them to get in touch with what's going on around them because it's basically neighborhood and community organization. And so there's likely someone in your neighborhood who's working as hard as my wife is to get this going, and we just need to connect people up.
And that is very true. And again, we'll make an effort to try to check on what their specific formal outreach is. But I'm glad to hear your wife's been to nursing homes along her appointed rounds in Longmont to take care
of campaigning. She wanted to offer that if there is a representative of an elderly population or a nursing home population in the Longmont area, please give her a call. She did say if it's okay that I could offer the phone number.
Sure.
For them to get in touch, and that would be 5902, and she would be more than happy to come out and facilitate.
And what's your wife's first name?
I'm not sure I'm free to use that.
All right, I'll just say call 303-323-5902, and just say you heard her number. Say you heard her number on the J. Marvin Show, and that'll set the
tone. Absolutely, that'll work
great. All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Kip.
Thank you, Erin, for all you're doing.
You too. And you know what? I don't want to be remiss because John sent this to me a while back, as he does very responsibly. Register to vote. Don't forget, there's a voter one-stop toolbox at statedemocracy.org, but you need to apply by August 8th, that's Friday, for a Colorado primary absentee ballot. So if you want to vote absentee, you've got to get it in. You've got to get the deadline into the app for the Colorado primary on August 12th. You need to have the absentee ballot. You need to apply for it. So you can go to statedemocracy.org. It's a portal that offers you all kinds of voter tools, including links to state election board and county and local election boards, polling place locator, election day requirements, links to lawmakers on the federal level and 50 states. Heck, I'm putting it in my bookmarks. But you can also call it 301-661-6882. So just to let you know, there's a telephone number, too, or look it up in the phone book, statedemocracy.org. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls coming up on The J. Marvin Show as we wind down on this Wednesday, waiting to see if Barack Obama announces anything. I'm going to go check the wires to see if there's anything new. And I haven't found anything else new on the flag stuff because it's kind of a controversy from a while ago. It was started in motion before his European trip. 9:34, I'm Erin Hart, filling in for J. Marvin. Stand by for Colorado's progressive traffic with John. Well, despite the fact that the judge apparently gave erroneous instructions to the panel of six military officers. They formally convicted the former driver of Osama bin Laden, completing the first military commission trial here and the first ever conducted by the United States since the end of World War II. Salim Ahmed Hamdan was found guilty of a conspiracy charge, arguably the most serious of the two charges. His conviction came on a separate but lesser charge of They acquitted him of the more serious charge. Forgive me, I'm catching up with this news. They acquitted him of the conspiracy charge, and they convicted him on a separate but lesser charge of providing material support for terrorism. That sounds like it may have been a fair decision. We'll see. That's the latest. It's 303-713-7600. I'd love to talk to all of you before we close out for today, and we're planning some hot stuff for you later in the week, so we'll let you know about that coming up too. Gene in Longmont, welcome on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Hey. Sorry, Gene, I think we hung up on you by accident. Forgive us. Sorry. Kim in Aurora, call back.
Hello.
Hi, Kim.
Oh, hi, Aaron. Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to reiterate what the last caller was saying. You know, we're all busy, but there's only 90 days left till the election, and we can all find a little bit of time. We have to get involved. We have to do something. We know what happened in 2000, and we know what happened in 2004, and we can't let it happen again. It's never been more important.
They're trying to drive it to be close enough so then they can go ahead and steal it.
And
you
I don't
know
have
that's true.
And I don't have to point out to you, Aaron, how important Colorado is this year.
Oh, goodness. Very, very crucial, clear, crystal clear. Yeah.
Anyway, as the last caller was saying, Obama offices are opening them up everywhere. There's a new one just opened in Aurora at Buckley in Mississippi, right next to Albertsons. And we'd love to have people just walk in and come get involved. There are big things and little things that can be done, and we can all find some time to help out.
Amen. I'm actually going to help register to people to vote because that's my passion. I want everybody to vote who can.
Exactly.
But you're absolutely right. We have to. And, you know, I don't normally give money to candidates just because I like to be able to criticize them, and I feel guilty if I give them money and then I slap them upside the head. But I just think you're absolutely right. It is absolutely critical. Do not take anything for granted in this election.
Aaron,
not at all.
You know, I'm almost 50, and like you, I've never been so excited about a candidate as I am about Barack.
I can't think of anybody who's excited me this much. I really can't. I liked Bill Clinton a lot, and
uh-huh.
I couldn't register people to vote fast enough in 92. I was more disenchanted with him in 96, I have to say. But not like this, where it was just so eloquent and so amazing. And because, you know, I knew that he was a hound and I knew he was a womanizer and all that. So there was always tempered. But this guy seems to be stand up and great, too.
He's the total package.
Oh, he is. I hope. You
I know. It's so exciting.
It is so exciting.
It is so exciting. And how often in our lives do we get to be a chance of something truly important?
Not very often at all, and certainly this country has taken so many shots to its
confidence, to our ability. So I just want to ask our listeners, I've heard so many enthusiastic listeners this morning, and I just want them to turn that passion into action and call the local offices or get down there and just find a way to get involved, because together we can turn Colorado blue.
And it would be so great to see that happen. I'll do a cartwheel wherever I am, I promise. Kim, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron, and thank you for filling in so great for Jay.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm happy to do so. Alan in Louisville, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning. Hey, Alan.
Hello, Aaron.
Alan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I always love it when you're on the radio.
Thank you. Me too.
So I want to weigh in with the last two callers. So I started to get involved in Longmont with the campaign there. I've gone to a few meetings. I've done some voter registration. And yeah, I don't have a lot of time. I work a lot. I got several jobs. My wife and I were on a tight budget trying to get our credit cards paid down. But yet we find, you know, $25 a month that we can donate to his campaign and a couple hours a week that we can donate to his campaign. And I just want to encourage people to get out there, get active, and get involved. People go down to the Longmont office down there at 360 Main Street, and you can volunteer some of your time. Even if it's just preparing food or people doing a call bank or something like that, it's easy. It's really, really easy. And once you start getting the wheels in motion there and you start participating, you realize that there is a force and a movement here that is greater than any one of us individuals. But together, we can push this election. We can turn Colorado blue. We can take the whole nation.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I agree with you. And I really think we need a Democratic majority in Congress as well. We need one in the Senate so that when Nancy Pelosi and her comrades send over a bill, they can get it passed. You know what I mean? It's just really, really important. We need to change this country. We need to get better energy policies, better health care, out of the war, and start rebuilding this country's infrastructure. And we're going to need every single change we can make in order to get that done, given the past experience of these guys.
I agree, and I'd love to see some new leadership in the Senate as well.
Amen, brother.
I'm not too happy with
I don't like Harry Reid. I do not. I'll live with Nancy Pelosi, but I do not like I don't like how. You know who I want to be head of the Senate?
Who?
Hillary Clinton.
I was thinking the same thing. I think she'd make just a total butt-kicking
great kicking. That woman would kick ass and take names. She's also proven she can work across the aisles.
Yes.
You know, she carved a really good position for herself. I really find it wonderful if she'd do that. She would be
formidable.
And I think, I agree.
You know, just such a great, great ally in there. That'd be my top pick right there.
Me too.
Anyway, just to sum it up, please, you just get involved. It's
Donate,
easy.
Get involved. Absolutely.
So
Tom Hartman says this all the time. It is easy, man. If they let me tell you something, they'll give you opportunities to work. I can testify to it. I've done it.
Yeah.
And they're also fun. I really like the people. I've met people from all over the world working for Obama, you know, new citizens of the United States, people who came from all over the country, people who have lived in other countries and as Americans and now live here again. It's just amazing. It's so much fun to meet them and to interact with them.
You get involved. You're gonna meet people who are of like mind. You're gonna find that you're part of a larger community. And you know, in a sea of conservatism and the media, it is just, it's a treasure.
True,
it's a treasure
so much.
To get involved.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
it.
Lewis and Louisville. Thank you so much. Eddie in Littleton, thank you for joining us on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. I was listening to your interview about the, I forget the guy's name that supposedly did the Amtrak.
Bruce Ivins. I have trouble remembering it, too.
All right. Well, my question is, why is it, maybe this is a generalization, but it seems to me people on the left always rush to defend people, they become a cause celeb, such as Leonard Peltier. I remember Russell Means when I was up in South Dakota. It just seems like rather than have any benefit of the doubt,
Let's see. Why have a bit of doubt? Okay, the FBI has already paid out $6 million to somebody they've already falsely accused. It's taken them 7.5 years to get anything done. They were ordered by George W. Bush to investigate and try to find a link to Al-Qaeda first. I mean, all this is substantiated. My question to you is, why don't you doubt more? And why drag out cases that are, what, more than 40 or 30 years old in order to prove your lame point? I think it's good to doubt your government. I think it's good to ask questions. I think it's good to be an investigator and try to figure out what the truth is, especially with an administration that has been shown over and over and over again not to be telling the truth, so much so that many Republicans are abandoning the party in droves. So it isn't me making that up. It isn't any kind of liberal conspiracy. Those are just the fact, Jack.
I hope 760 isn't paying you by the word. My God, they're going to go bankrupt, but
is that your best comeback? Is just to insult me?
When you put somebody on,
shades of John McCain. Shades of John McCain. Wow, what a good one.
Well, can I get a word in edgewise?
If you want to be intelligent.
All right. So you put somebody on that says he's a nice person. I mean, everybody that has a murder next door, that's the first thing they say. He was such a nice person. If that's the sum total of the defense, my goodness. I mean,
that wasn't the sum total of her defense. If you listen, she questioned the facts that were presented, the evidence from his laboratory. She countered their version of several events that were published in the New York Times. So it wasn't only that. You're just trying to characterize that because apparently the only thing that I assume you must be a Republican. You seem to be.
Republican.
I don't know. Are
yeah.
you? I don't
yeah.
want to put it in your mouth. Are you a Republican or are you one of those people?
A,
who calls yourself GOP these days.
I am a Republican. I'm a conservative.
Well, apparently the only thing you guys can do is slime, smear, and deny. So if you want to bring up, doesn't this disturb you that this man committed suicide? Shouldn't we ask questions about whether he really did?
I guess I put a lot of credence on his own psychiatrist saying the guy was a nutcase ready to kill
people. Not a psychiatrist. Actually, just a social worker. Didn't have a degree. Not even as a psychologist. Next.
He goes to court to get a restraining order because he's threatening to kill people. I put a little credence in that. And I can say, I guess more than
yes, and you're right. That should be mentioned. You're absolutely right. That should be mentioned. So that was a good point. Good. It only took you, what, 5 minutes?
All right. I guess I come back to the Guantanamo people as well. I mean, people on the left can't wait to see them get out of there as well. I don't understand why people...
You're just dragging out your laundry list of things that upset you? Part of the reason why I want us to get out of Guantanamo is because it's not a very bright place to have things. Part of the reason I want to be is if you're really stand up and honest about what you're doing in this country and who you're going to prosecute and who you're going to proceed against, then you can do it in the light of day and in the United States of America. That's my point. And my point is, too, you don't have to violate the Constitution of the United States of America in order to prosecute anybody. So you go right ahead just selling your Constitution down the river, my friend, but I'll stand up for our Constitution and our rights. That's what I'll do. I'll stand up for the true conservative position, which is to protect our Constitution against all kinds of assault, foreign and domestic.
You think Leonard Peltier was innocent as well?
Oh, please, would you stop with Leonard Peltier?
I'm just asking.
Stop with it. I'm not even going to go there because it's such a stupid point. I'm not even going to touch it because it's so sad and pathetic.
You don't see a pattern.
No, I don't. I see them as two separate cases. You're just really sad,
Hollywood
sir.
Rolls out. They come out with the placards. They protest. I mean, there was a cop.
They come out. They. You know what? Your kind of opinions are exactly why we are today. My nephew, who's 18 years old, you know what he wants to see the older generation do? He wants us to get along. He wants us to compromise. He wants us to solve some big problems in this country. As long as you're going to point at me and call me names and to try to diminish my intellect and try to drag up the past as if it's today and do all that stuff, I'm going to come back at you hard and heavy with all the breath of my being and all the breadth of intelligence that I possess and knowledge that I possess. And I'm not going to let you talk over me either, because you know what? That's another tactic of yours. I'll be quiet in just a minute. But you know what? I am so tired of this kind of negativity. Why do you believe it? You're so wrong. You're so un-American. Well, you know what? That's not true. I'm as patriotic and I believe in my country I believe in my country to be able to question it just like the original patriots. And since my family's been here to here since 1600, not that it particularly matters, I think that's kind of okay. You know what I'm saying? I think it's all right. My family came from the South and the North, and I have every single right to ask questions of my country. My family has been doing it for generations, as well as serving in the military, and I have an absolute right to ask any questions that I want of my government or of my people. You can try and diminish that all you like, Eddie, but I would think you would stand up for people's right to dissent. Now you go.
Tell me what name I called you. I'm curious. What name did I call you? I didn't call you any name. I just
You just do it by inference. Oh, you liberals, you people who don't understand, you people who stand up, you people who trash America, you people who do this, you people who want that. You make me an other.
I say the people on the left take these people as
you lump me. You also lump me in a group and act as if I think in lockstep, and I don't. You know, I will not accept your rhetoric, sir. I will not.
You did it this morning with your guest.
Stop it. I listened to her because you know what? She knew the man. I did not. She's followed the case more closely than I did. Yes, I did let her speak.
I wait until the evidence comes out. I don't know either whether the guy.
You know what?
I doubt anybody will ever know. But I guess rather than.
Oh, I see. So we can't ask questions.
Than immediately challenge the government as being a bunch of criminals, I tend to believe that the
FBI. I didn't
FBI
say that. I never called them
a
criminal.
Case.
No, sir. You will not do that either. You will not stick the calumny of calling me a criminal in their minds. I've said they've lied, and that's an absolute fact, backed up by evidence, backed up by all kinds of stories that back me up and all kinds of factual information that backs me up, that the Bush administration consistently and constantly has lied to the United States of America. So, no, sir, please don't go there. Thank you. Too much evidence on my side. And in the present tense, I don't have to go back to, say, Richard Nixon to make my point. Thanks, Eddie. 9:52, I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. All right. We'll be right back after Colorado's progressive traffic. Thank you, John. I knew somebody would get me fired up this morning.
Yeah.
You sure did.
Too bad it took so long.
Yeah, too bad.
Well, we needed a call like that, at 7 o'clock, get everybody else fired up.
Well, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Because now the phones are going nuts.
Hey, well, Republicans, they always lie in bed for hours.
Well,
I'll just make
a
sweeping generalization.
He does that to Jay a lot, too, so.
Okay, well, that's fine.
I love the they when they lump everybody in the same category.
They. It's like, ooh.
You guys.
Yeah, you guys, the other. Thanks so much, Eddie. You know what? As far as I'm concerned, you're still a human being, and you're still, I assume, a citizen of my country. Therefore, it's we, the people. 953, even though I may not like you as much. 953, I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk, or your opinions, I should say. I have no idea. You might be kind of likable. Okay, I was going to say like Paris Hilton is a genius, but she kind of is. 953, I'm Aaron Hart.
And
Colorado's
hot.
Progressive Traffic with John. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I just realized that was kind of loud. Sorry, John. Hi. Let's go to Van in Boulder, and then I'm going to try to squeeze information about the campaign plane because it is true, but actually McCain's doesn't have a big obvious flag on it either. More about that. You can go to Snopes.com and find out the story in the meantime. Snopes.com. And thanks to the listener who sent that along. Van in Boulder, I'll talk about it tomorrow. Hi, Van.
Well, that was just awesome. Good job.
Thanks.
I love it. I love it when progressives get on it and they just work over folks that, as Obama has, I think, put out there in a really good way, are willfully ignorant. They just want to not think about things. And the reason I called is I actually had a chance to finally catch up with my dad,
dude.
He was an epidemiologist that was actually on site up in D.C., during the beginning. And when I told him that some journalists and some government people were using the Cipro prophylactic before the attack, he was absolutely flabbergasted. And he went back. He's going to give me a ring back and talk to me about his notes. Because,
Let me know. Yeah. Keep us posted. I'm sorry I have to cut you off because we got to jump. But thank you so much. Thank you all. I'll see you back here tomorrow on the J. Marvin Show. Thanks, John Turk. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for J. Marvin on Colorado's Progressive Talk, AM 760.